Welcome to a special edition of Issues and Ideas. Today we have a candidates forum. On November 6th, voters will be asked to choose the next mayor for a term of 2 years for the city of San Luis Obispo from a field of three candidates. The three candidates are Steve Barish, Donald Hedrick, and the incumbent, Jan Harris. We have invited all three to be with us in the studio today. Mr. Barish and Ms. Harris have accepted that invitation and are here with us in the studio. Why did I say Harris when I meant Marks? One against me, and my name is Larry Rutter. Failing fast. We have a pretty structured formula for this forum. We'll begin by asking each candidate to take 4 minutes to make the case for their election, and then take 2 minutes to respond to comments by the other. Ahead of time, we ask the candidates to randomly draw for speaking positions. So we'll be keeping time here in the studio and insist that the candidates not go beyond their allotted time. After they've made their opening statements, we'll have a series of questions, many of them suggested by listeners. And we'll alternate the first responses. At the close, we'll reverse the order of speaking from the opening. And we drew, and Mr. Barish chose to make his statement first. You have 4 minutes, Mr. Barish.
Thank you, Larry. My name is Steve Barish, and I'm a 23-plus-year resident of the city of San Luis Obispo. I believe that currently our city is suffering from a lack of fiscal responsibility and a lack of transparency. I'm running for mayor because I believe our city leaders must be held accountable to their constituents for their actions, and we must live within our means and limit our unfunded future expenses so that we do not pass unfunded debts to our children and grandchildren. As mayor, I will lead the city down a new path, a path that puts common sense decisions back into our local government and ensures our city is fiscally responsible and promises to hold our leaders accountable for their decisions. As I said, I'm a long-term resident of the city. I founded my own firm in 1977 in the architectural and engineering field. Most of my time today is involved with management consulting. I do fiscal reports and reviews of businesses that are going through some form of turbulence. I do mergers and acquisitions. I deal with unions on a day-to-day basis. And some people refer to me as a crisis manager. I'm a local business owner here in San Luis Obispo. My wife and I settled here full-time in 1989. Janine, my wife, is a well-known educator in the community. We have two grown children. Both of them went through the San Luis Obispo Public Schools, graduates of San Luis High School. I'm a problem solver. I've been in business almost 38 years. I built a 120-firm company with four regional offices. We were rated as one of the top 20 firms in the 80s in our field of architecture, engineering, and construction management. I've seen the city in better financial shape than it is currently. There have been a number of decisions that has concerned me and a lot of expenses that I think are needless. There's also been a number of false promises. Just as an example, the Measure Y funds that were generally promised in the beginning to be used for public capital improvement projects, the majority are now used to fund staff benefits and pensions. We have less than 8% of our current Measure Y funds, which are almost $5.8 to $6 million, going towards what was originally promised. A couple of interesting statistics I brought along. Since 1994, the city has grown less than 1% in population from 43,200 to about 44,750. Yet in the same 15-year period, our overall city budget has grown to approximately to 250%. That concerns me. The city pays a lot of money in overtime. Approximately $3 million of the $21 million in staff salaries is overtime that could be put to better uses. And our city's employment ratio is about one employee for every 90 to 100 residents. In most cities under 100,000, it's between 250 to 350 residents per one employee. These are the things that concern me and got me into the race. And I hope that today we can discuss a lot of the issues that concern me as well. Thank you.
Mr. Steve Barish, candidate for mayor of San Luis Obispo. Jan Marks, your opening statement.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Larry, or should I call you Harry? I don't know.
I actually have a very good friend named Jan Harris.
So okay. You're forgiven.
That's the only way I can explain that.
Thank you. I am Jan Marks, mayor of San Luis Obispo, and I'm the third woman mayor ever in the city's 160-year history. I'm a full-time mayor. I'm serving the city 40 to 50 hours a week, and I want to continue strengthening our city's financial position, increase and preserve head of household jobs, enhance economic vitality, and improve homeless services, and maintain and even improve our city's unique world-famous quality of life. I will continue to work hard to make city government more transparent and more responsive to the public. But before I go any further, I would just like to tell you a little bit about myself for those of you who do not know me. I've lived in San Luis Obispo for nearly 25 years. My degrees are from Stanford, Columbia, and Santa Clara School of Law. I've been married to Stephen Marks for 46 years, and he is a retired faculty member at Cal Poly. We have two grown children and four grandsons, two of whom live here in San Luis Obispo. I've had a successful legal career running my own practice since 1993. Prior to that, I served in the San Luis Obispo District Attorney's Office, and prior to that, I was the Dean of Students for one of the Claremont Colleges and have had extensive background and experience handling large budgets, and that doesn't count the 8 years I've had on City Council handling municipal budgets. I've donated hundreds of pro bono hours to the poor and disadvantaged, and I've served on numerous humanitarian and environmental nonprofit boards. I am the only candidate for mayor with any experience on City Council or on local advisory bodies. I've served as a City Council member for 6 years and the last 2 years as mayor. I represent the city on the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments Regional Transportation Agency and the Air Pollution Control District. As mayor, I have successfully led the city through an extremely challenging 2 years as the economy gradually climbs out of the Great Recession. And I'm committed to keeping the city on the path to financial sustainability. This year's budget is balanced with a surplus and a 20% reserve. Our city has a AA-plus bond rating and an excellent audit. I will continue to aggressively seek grant funding, and my regional representation has secured millions of state and federal dollars for roads, bike paths, and public transit funding, plus $15 million for the LOVR interchange expansion. I am the only candidate with a positive vision for the city's future. Not only am I objectively the most qualified candidate, but I'm an all-in mayor. I'm dedicated entirely to serving the community. I dig in and I get things done. And if you want to know more about my specific accomplishments, go ahead and look at my website, janmarks.com, for a list of completed projects and details of my vision for the next 2 years. I've been endorsed by Supervisors Bruce Gibson, Adam Hill, and Jim Patterson, Councilmember John Ashbaugh, former Mayor Alan Settle, County Sheriff Ian Parkinson, State Assemblyman Bill Monning, Planned Parenthood, the Sierra Club, and the San Luis Obispo City Democratic Club. So please vote for me for mayor.
Jan Marks, candidate for re-election to mayor, the city of San Luis Obispo. The way this candidate forum works here on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast, is now each candidate can take 2 minutes to respond to the opening remarks of the others or to amplify on what they said earlier. You have 2 minutes. Mr. Barish, continue.
Yes. My opponent was clear to say that we had a balanced budget for the city. Yet, I don't see how we can do that without sacrificing capital and public improvement projects. I'd like to be directed to a list, perhaps, of all the capital improvement projects we've built in the last 3 years or will be building in the next 3 years. I can't seem to find it. It appears that we've balanced the budget basically on the backs of not delivering the facilities and the quality of service that was promised to the voters and the taxpayers as a result of Measure Y. Regarding our bond rating, I recently reviewed both Fitch's, Moody's, and Standard & Poor's bond analysis of the city of San Luis Obispo, and each one of those rating services indicated that unless Measure Y is renewed, our bond ratings will sink drastically, and it's a clear set of statements in both of these, in all three of these bond rating reports. Lastly, my opponent says that she has a positive vision for the city. I would assert that under her leadership for the last approximately 8 years, the city has had difficulties in paying its bills and balancing its budget without going into its savings account. In fact, our all-city savings accounts have dropped dramatically in the last 2 years. I do also have a positive vision for the city, and without a healthy fiscal plan and a healthy balance sheet, it's really hard to deliver the quality of services to our voters and our residents at affordable prices. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barish. Ms. Marks, you have 2 minutes to respond.
Sure. Well, I would like to say, first of all, that the city of San Luis Obispo does not exist in a bubble. It exists in the state of California, and it's not a surprise for anyone that the state and the nation has gone through the greatest recession since the Great Depression, and we are turning it around at this point. And under my leadership, the city has managed to get onto the path of sustainability, of financial sustainability, and we are committed to that path. One of the things we did that was innovative, and I was a backer of this, is budget-driven negotiations with our bargaining units. So instead of, as has been done in the past, just looking at, well, how much money do we think we're going to have, Council set a dollar amount by which we wanted to reduce the amount that was spent on personnel. And that was, we have saved $3.1 million per year, and that's going to be going on in perpetuity. I agree that we need to spend more money on capital improvement projects. That's a goal, and that's one of the reasons that we've worked hard to cut back on personnel costs. In terms of Measure Y, I'm a backer of renewal of Measure Y. And the reason that we were not able, there are two reasons we were not able to spend more of Measure Y money on CIP. One was the binding arbitration award, $6.2 million, which was we didn't know we were going to have. And then the other thing had to do with the recession and the fact that sales tax itself went down. So I don't agree that my opponent does have a positive vision for the city. All he's done at public comment is just complain over and over again for years.
Jan Marks, thank you very much. Now, Mr. Barish, you have 1 minute. To anything you want to say to wrap up, and then Ms. Marks will have 1 minute, and then we have a series of questions for you.
I urge the public to look at the symptoms of local government right now. There are strong tensions between our unions and our senior management and the council. We have many rancorous city council meetings. We have an uneven fiscal future. And as a concerned member of the public, I've raised a number of concerns to this current council and gotten some very positive results as a result of those concerns. Some of these results including identifying new sources of hidden city assets in the 200-plus properties that the city currently owns, maintains, and manages, raising the public awareness of the budget balancing problems and process so that we don't go into the kinds of shortfalls that our former city finance director projected of about $7.5 million a year, even with the Measure Y funds, through 2015, and lobbying for a very reasonable economic analysis of many of our land use policies in the city. Thank you.
Yes, well, I would just like to say that imagining that the city has hidden assets is a real far stretch. We rely on the audit that is done every year. The city's books are open to the public if they want to investigate them. And going back to the Fitch ratings, we have a strong financial position. We have excellent financial management. We have a low debt burden. And fundamentally sound economy. I'm reading right from the Fitch ratings document. Resilient tax base, strong financial performance. The main and notable fiscal oversight. The main problem that the city of San Luis Obispo has, like every other city, is looming pension liability. And I want to establish a reserve fund to pay off any unexpected pension liability that might hit the city when we don't know that is coming.
Jan Marks. You are listening to a candidates forum here on KCBX. So we have the two of the three candidates for mayor with us in the studio, Steve Barish and Jan Marks.
Marks.
I did it again. I'm going to slap my wrist the next time I do that. And we will be having now a series of questions, some of which have been sent in by our listeners over the last week and some of which I concocted myself. I'd like to get away from finance for just
okay.
for a bit. We had one listener, for instance, wrote, it appears to me that there are a lot more homeless people on the streets mm-hmm. of the city. Downtown and elsewhere, begging, sleeping on the street, and loitering. Do you agree? Do you think it's a problem? And what steps would you take to elevate or alleviate, rather, the problems of aggressive panhandling, uncivil behavior, and crime that seems to come with the larger homeless population? That from a listener. We're now going to reverse our speaking positions. And Ms. Marks? You are the first, and you have 3 minutes to
three
respond.
3 minutes. Okay, thank you. Yes, I will agree that there are more homeless people or apparently homeless people on the streets of our city as all the other cities throughout the state and probably throughout the country. And they fall basically into three groups. Ian Parkinson, the sheriff who is supporting my candidacy, has said that about a third of them are the cannots. They're the people who suddenly they find themselves without a job, without a paycheck, and they just can't make ends meet. And then there is, those are the people, those are the people who want help and who are capable of reaching out and getting help. And those are the people the city is most interested in helping. The second group are basically mentally ill, and that's about another third. Our county and our state is very, very insufficient in terms of treating these people who are either involved in substance abuse or mentally ill. And then the third group is a group of transients who are the will-nots. They don't want help. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. And these are the people who tend to be aggressive and create the criminal problems. So what we're doing to alleviate them, the city has started a safe parking program. It's a pilot program, and we are hearing back about it in October. I'm a big supporter of that program. I heard from Detourist that it's going well, and I would like to see it expanded. And as it is expanded, the city will be able to give them the permits they need, perhaps nonprofits and other church groups will open up. In terms of the aggressive panhandling, I'd say it's very important not to give people money directly, but to give to the Prado Day Center, to give to the Maxine Lewis homeless shelter, or if they wish, to the, something like Grassroots, the food bank. The Homeless Services Center is now in the fundraising phase, and I'm hoping that when that comes along, it will be much better. But I do think we need to also reach out to other communities and be more creative in our response. And improving the homeless services is a goal that I wish to forward in my next term in office.
Jan Marks, Steve Barish.
Jan, thank you, but I find that the sort of bureaucratic answer. This whole issue really hits home to me because my sister Rochelle lived out of her car for the last 4 years in San Diego. Unfortunately, she passed away of cancer 2.5-3 months ago. And I studied the homeless problem a great deal in terms of both the welfare system and her particular unique situation in San Diego. In San Diego, they took very aggressive action to push people away from parks and public spaces where they would camp overnight. The five meager spaces involved in the safe parking program is a drop in the bucket to satisfy the homeless problem. And the recent parking ordinance that was approved, and I think you were the deciding vote, Ms. Marks, last night, I think is repulsive. I think that particular ordinance basically kicks the can down the road and forces people to move from one location to another without really addressing the underlying problem. I really hope we can start thinking out of the box on the homeless problem and come up with some really beneficial solutions that are meaningful in our community.
Mr. Barish, normally I would have a one-minute response, but I'll let each of you now take 2 minutes to expand upon your answer if you'd like to do that.
Okay, sure. Thank you very much. What I want to say is that, first of all, that the ordinance that we passed last night was just reaffirming an ordinance that's been in place in the city since 1995, and it's a prohibition on overnight camping in vehicles on the street. We took it from the zoning ordinances and moved it over to the parking ordinances, and we did that in response to a judge's decision that would be an appropriate thing to do and pursuant to a settlement agreement after we were sued. So now the city of San Luis Obispo has the same regulations that the rest of the county does that most of the cities have. If we had no regulations at all, we would be in a situation where people would just be moving into neighborhoods in their cars and into businesses, and the residents as various establishments would have no protection. That is unacceptable. The health, safety, and welfare of the people of San Luis Obispo is the first responsibility of the city council. Now, if that sounds bureaucratic, a city is a bureaucracy. A city is not a SWAT team. In this case, we have $96 million in our general fund, and it's important that we proceed in a way that is even-handed and that is fair and that is fair to everyone. I agree that we need to have that the present safe parking program is not enough. That's why I want to see it expanded. And we do need to have more creative answers. But we also are not going to just wave a magic wand and make the problem go away. It's a huge problem, not just for our city, but what the main thing is to get people into housing. That's my main concern. I'm a big fan of affordable housing.
Mr. Barish, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I spoke to one of the attorneys who brought suit against the city of San Luis Obispo this afternoon. He estimated that the legal fees between the outside counsel and the city staff are over $250,000. He expects to petition the court for another $150,000+ in legal fees on his particular side to basically bring the suit for the Homeless Alliance. That's a heck of a lot of wasted taxpayers' money that could have gone to the social services agencies of the city to address how to take people who want to be helped but are down on their luck and re-socialize them, make them feel part of the community, My wife, who's never been to a city council meeting in the last 20 years, went to a council meeting about 2 months ago. Her name is Janine again. She came up and she said, why don't we find a safe haven at a reasonable scale that is supervised, that is well lit, that has potable water and reasonable sanitary facilities, and let people do community service if they want to stay there. And to do that, we will give them a supervisor. We will monitor how they do community service. Anything is more productive than sitting around causing trouble, as I think my opponent would agree. Those people who are transients and who are disruptive, I support getting them out of town. I mean, we just can't incarcerate a whole society that is down on their luck. The biggest problem with the homeless today is they want a chance. And I just looked at some recent statistics that the median income in the United States has fallen faster in the last 4 years since it did in the Great Depression. There are many families who are considered middle class that just can't afford to support themselves today. We have a social and a moral obligation to help those people get back into the mainstream of society as soon as possible.
Thank you, Mr. Barish. You're listening to a Candidates Forum here on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. A reminder that coming up at the top of the hour, it's All Things Considered. But we are considering the two people who are running for mayor of San Luis Obispo, two of the three people running for mayor. Just heard Mr. Steve Barish, Jan Marks, the incumbent, is with us in the studio, both of those individuals. We also invited Don Henrich, and he is not with us in the studio, but we have a series of questions that we've been asking them. And I'm going to take the moderator's prerogative and just go a little bit further on the question of the homeless in the city. And I guess we'll reverse the order from this. We'll start with Mr. Barish. What I don't hear very much is the law enforcement dimension of the problem and involvement in the solution to the problem of the vagrancy on the streets, panhandling, petty crime that comes with it, and the general tenor downtown of highly visible homeless people loitering and whatnot. Mr. Barish, do you have an approach of law enforcement involvement in that?
Well, this homeless problem is getting worse throughout California, clearly. And in the cities that I'm familiar with, where I own property or I do business, most of the cities have taken a fairly clear path in how they deal with transients. And that is, they give them warnings, they post signs, they have shelters that they can go to both in the evening and during the day, and they have social systems and social workers that work with these people. They have a certain percentage of their funding available to re-socialize a lot of these people. Those that are causing trouble, they cite. They give them administrative citations. They give them tickets. But the big problem is they don't care. These people don't care about their credit reports. They don't care about how many tickets they have. They're mobile. They're transient. You can never locate them after they get a ticket. It's a joke. You can't give somebody a ticket and they're in an RV and they're in Arizona the next week and expect to extradite them from Arizona or Nevada. I think we're just taking a more traditional, rigid, within-the-box approach to creating ridiculous ordinances that are impossible to enforce and violate the spirit of Judge Crandall's Superior Court ruling on the city of San Luis Obispo. And finally, the city just backed off after spending all that money. Certainly, the police have to be trained to deal with transients properly. They have to acknowledge the social problems. Many of them are well-educated in our law enforcement system. But this is a relatively new problem that's caused by recent phenomenons in the economy, and we've got to be extra sensitive. I mean, people sleeping on benches, you know, what are you going to do with those people? If they have children, you've got to deal with the children. You've got to sometimes protect them in protective services. If a family gets violent or reacts to police control, these are all things that we've got to be much more aware of in our city. And as I said, think outside the box.
Okay.
Jan Marks.
Yeah, well, first of all, the city council did not create the homeless problem, and I think that that should be very clear. I have a lot of compassion for the homeless, and I will say that I also have a family member who lived out of a car, and I know how difficult that can be for a family. In terms of law enforcement, the downtown contingent of the police force is working with county social workers and trying to create points of contact so that the people on the street who want help and who are willing to cooperate are given the help that they need. There are groups of young people. They often have dogs. They often have a very kind of flamboyant appearance. They come in by the train. They're called the travelers. They come in. Our city is one of the cities that they go to. They come and they go, and they are very aggressive in terms of the panhandling. It is important not to give those people money. I think that law enforcement is very important. I guess my legal career and the fact that I was in the DA's office, you know, makes me understand that this is a bottom line basic responsibility that the city has. People need to feel safe in the downtown, and we need to be able to have a community where we can be compassionate to those who need help and who want help, who will accept help, and at the same time not be intimidated or pushed around by people who, you know, to quote my opponent, they just don't care. So that's the difficult situation that we're facing. And our city does more than any other city in the county. I also want to point out that social workers work for the county of San Luis Obispo, not for the city. We are not in charge of health and human services.
Thank you, Jan Marks. You are listening to a forum, a debate between the two candidates, two of the three candidates for mayor of San Luis Obispo, Steve Barish and Jan Marks. Don Henrich is not with us right now, but we are going to take a break in these proceedings because this, after all, is our fall pledge drive, and we need to go to Pledge Central and find out what's going on there, and we'll be back here with more with Ms. Marks and Mr. Barish after this break. Well, welcome back to this special edition of Issues and Ideas. My name is Larry Rutter, and I am privileged to moderate here a debate between two of the three candidates for mayor of San Luis Obispo. We have with us in the studio Steve Barish, and we have Jan Marks. Jan is the incumbent. Mr. Barish, you are the challenger, and we have some more questions, some from our listeners, some from the top of my head here. One listener wrote in, and I'm not going to paraphrase and maybe be a little bit more elegant than they were, but it pointed out that students are returning to Cal Poly. And they're returning to the city. With them, of course, comes more business and lots of events that enrich the community and a general sense of a vibrant youth. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons that many people were attracted and have been attracted to the city, even though they are not students or part of the Cal Poly environment. But also comes with the students more traffic, loud parties, and a potential for celebrations that get out of hand. The question is, and we're going to begin with Ms. Marks at this point, mm-hmm. and give her 3 minutes to respond to the question, what more, if anything, should the city be doing to reduce town gown friction? You have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Well, I think this is a great question, and it's something that I've been concerned with for years. I'm one of the founding members of Residents for Quality Neighborhood, which is an organization that is looking at the difficulties that sometimes can arise when students live in residential neighborhoods that were not designed for students but were designed for families, essentially. The city is working with Cal Poly. I met President Armstrong on his first day at work. And one of the things I suggested to him is that they consider a code of conduct for their students so that when students come to Cal Poly, they know what the expectations are in terms of their behavior, but also including the behavior toward the community. And they have taken that step. That's called the Mustang Way. And ASI, the Associated Student Organization, and the athletic department, in fact, the whole campus is getting behind that. So I'm hoping that that will help setting the bar higher. Moving students onto the campus has had a great a positive effect. There's over 7,000, and we have been lobbying for more. I've been told that now they're going to build 2,000 more spaces on campus, which is really good. In terms of approaching with the traffic, I've been a big fan of bicycle paths, trying to link up the city bike path system and the campus bike path system, and that's actually happened, and it's being expanded. So if those students who are living on campus can leave those 7,000 cars on campus and bike or walk into town and back and forth, that will help a lot. In terms of the loud parties, that is always a problem, and we have approached it with noise ordinance. And I know my opponent probably doesn't like this, but we have also attached landlord liability to noise complaints so that it's not just the people who are having the party, but it's also the property owner who gets a ticket. And what this encourages, and it has really helped the noise complaints go down, it encourages people when they are deciding who they're going to rent to make sure they're renting to responsible students. And they can even include it, a clause in their rental agreement if they want to. In terms of celebrations getting out of hand, we have passed an unruly gathering ordinance, which is working well. And you know, in general, what we really need is to hear from residents, and not just the city council, that's important, but also the police. It's very important that if people are experiencing difficulties, they let the police know.
Thank you, Jan Marks. Steve Barish.
Larry, could you restate the question in a clear way for me again, please? I just didn't get the compound question.
Well, it's not compound. What more should the city be doing to reduce town gown friction?
Okay. It's interesting, some of the comments that my opponent made today. I find as a landlord that my wife and I are very, very strict with our tenants to the point where sometimes they don't think we're the best people in town because we enforce the city's rather strict ordinances on them. They feel that they come to a college community, and they're not here to make trouble, but they're not here to be overregulated either. Ironically, most of the students tell us day in, day out, that as soon as they've completed their first year of college, they want to move off the campus. They don't want to stay on the campus. They want to move off. They want to be treated like adults. They don't want to be in a supervised living environment with a resident dorm inspector. They want to move out and have some degree of freedom. I'm a little familiar with the administration at Cal Poly. In fact, when Dr. Armstrong came to town, he was one of my tenants for the first 4 months in one of my nicer rental properties. We have some very beautiful rental properties in many sections of the city, and I'm always eager to learn from our tenants what their perception is of the city. Most of the tenants have come from very strong households with high degree of supervision. They're not here to make trouble. They're here to grow both socially and educationally. And most every one of our tenants who graduates, which is probably 99.9%, is in immediate demand for a job. These are very responsible adults for the most part. In terms of the city perspective on this, with all of our new neighborhood wellness guidelines and our complaint-driven policies, I believe that the city's turned into a giant homeowners association. If anyone has a gripe or a beef about their tenants or their friends of their tenants or their neighbor, they're going to file a complaint, and these complaints are treated with a great deal of seriousness in the city of San Luis Obispo. In fact, they're treated as anonymous complaints. One of the things I think we can do is improve the education level I give out brochures, and my wife gives out brochures about all the current city policies, the neighborhood wellness, the code violations, the noise ordinance. I run a property management company as well, and all of this information is given to our tenants and the friends of our tenants when they're first interviewing for a lease with us, and we screen them very, very carefully. I think most of the problems in the downtown area are handled. I think most of the other, the more significant problems are away from the downtown because they're the areas that are not so highly controlled and patrolled by our local police and enforcement officials. One of the things that I think we have to understand is people come here to grow as human beings. They come to grow both socially and educationally. And anything we can do to treat them as adults and take away some of the more onerous restrictions, such as having furniture visible for them from the front yard or overgrown grass, those to me are respectful policies.
We're going to have to cut you off a little bit. I'm sorry. Ms. Marks, you have a minute to respond, and then Mr. Barish will have another minute to respond.
Sure. Well, I would just like to say that the education is going on, and it is an effort that has that's very important. I agree with my opponent on that. In terms of the neighborhood wellness program, it is very important that the neighborhoods are treated with respect. And so this is not aimed at the students per se. It's aimed at anybody who's living in the neighborhoods in terms of couches being burned in the street, trash being thrown around or turned over. Yes, we want to treat people as adults, and as adults they have responsibility, which includes treating their neighbors with respect. I will say that the Neighborhood Wellness Program is a pilot program. It's working out really well so far, and we are hoping to prevent some of our neighborhoods falling into blight, and that's a big, important goal.
You have 1 minute if you want to say anything more.
Sure. The student frictions that occur in this city have been, for the most part, dealt with in a very reasonable way. It's the extreme conditions that I'm concerned with, where the neighborhood wellness and our noise violation policies are not enforced equitably throughout the city. I don't think residents who live in student neighborhoods are treated quite the same as they are if they live in more affluent residential areas. So I've been very concerned about the actual enforcement of our neighborhood wellness, our noise violations. I mean, I had a student who was using their vacuum at 3 o'clock in the afternoon who got a neighborhood wellness citation. I had people who were not gathering during the curfew periods that also got cited. Again, it's the enforcement of these policies that concerns me, not the policies themselves in many instances.
Thank you very much. We have finished the Q&A part of our little forum here today, and we're going to give you an opportunity now to wrap up, to restate the case for each of the two candidates' election to the position of mayor of San Luis Obispo. You will have 3 minutes to make your case, and then an opportunity for just a one-minute rebuttal at the very end. We began with Mr. Barish, and we're going to set it up so that Ms. Marks is speaking last. You spoke first, and so we are going to begin with Mr. Barish, and you have 3 minutes to make your final argument, and then we'll have a one-minute rebuttal at the end of that, if that is okay with you people. Mr. Barish.
Feels like the lightning round.
This is the lightning round.
Okay.
Again, I am a longtime resident of San Luis Obispo. I served on the Housing Element Update Task Force in 2004, where we created more low to moderate income housing opportunities. I sat on the city's Open Space Advisory Committee. I sat on several other advisory committees for the city, including my neighborhood policymaking group in the Flora area above Johnson Avenue. I also was on the Planning Commission in Pasadena for 7 years and co-chairman of the Urban Design Commission in a city of about 150,000 people. My educational credentials are a little different from my opponents. I I spent 3 years getting a 5-year undergraduate degree in architecture. I did a Master's of Architecture and Urban Design. I was the first American student admitted to a joint program of the Architectural Association and the Tavistock School of Human Resources to study complex organizations and organizational design theory in London, England. I'm well-traveled. I lived abroad and worked for the Crown Agents for several years, and I've seen how other communities around the world have solved problems from a fresh perspective. I really believe deeply that we need some new leadership on the City Council. We need problem solvers. We desperately need people who are not retired and who have business experience, real-world business experience. My specialty, again, is in finance, management, and organizational design. And these are the kinds of skills that are, I believe, needed in this day and age where we've gone through some major, major turbulence in our city and in the state. I agree with my opponent that the state at this point is a little goofy, can't be trusted. But at the same time, we got to get our own house in order fiscally. And we have to be accountable to the taxpayers. If we promise them 5 years of Lake Nacimiento water surcharges and now going into our 12th year, we got it wrong. This particular issue is so significant to me because I can barely afford to pay my water and sewer bills, which double every 3.5 to 4 years. And what's really ironic is water use is down 40%, and the elevation of Lake Nacimiento was so low right now that we hardly get any water going into the pipe system. The spending on the double-decker bus, that really irks me because the ridership is low. It costs 3 times as much to operate. It's not ADA compliant. We've had a lot of people tripping on the upper level. And the purchase of the 100-foot boom fire truck, which is now used primarily as a parade float, is not that impressive as a piece of firefighting apparatus, considering we don't have that many high-rise fires. We need to spend our money wisely and not on bonehead projects in the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barish. Final remarks from Ms. Marks.
Okay, well, I'll start with the bonehead comments of my opponent. In terms of the fire truck, I want to say that we need a 100-foot ladder in order to get to the dorms at Cal Poly. We have the city has a contract in order to serve as a fire protection for Cal Poly. When they built those new dorms, our ladder on our tiller truck at that point would not have reached to the top floor, so we could not adequately provide that service. That's very important. Also, we changed the height limits. This is not when I was on the council, but before I was on the council. And those new height limits also contemplate buildings that would be taller than our tiller truck, our previous one, could reach. So it's a matter of safety. And we have gotten very good terms in terms of the loan for that and also a grant that have helped with that. The double-decker bus did not come out of the budget of the city of San Luis Obispo. We were facing the need for 2 buses. And by buying the double-decker bus, we were able to be more environmentally sound in terms of the use of the fuel and also just hire 1 bus driver rather than 2. So it was a cost-saving measure, and it's very popular with the students. It's mostly for the students. And, again, Cal Poly gives us where we have a contractual arrangement with them to provide bus service for the students, the faculty, and the staff. In terms of the Nacimiento water debt, I was not on City Council when that decision was made. When I left City Council, I was on from 1998 to 2002. When I left, we had the recycled water project. Excuse me. And at that time, we were told, this is all the water we're going to need to build out. We don't need any more water. When I was off council, the decision was made under my predecessor to go ahead and go into debt for the Nacimiento Water Project. And it's true that we are now paying off a debt that is onerous. And it's also true that water use is going down. And so this is one of the reasons that the City Council is now undergoing a comprehensive water rate structure study session, which my opponent or anyone in the public who's interested is certainly invited to attend. I would like to also say that in terms of problem solvers, I am a problem solver. That's one of the reasons I wanted to go into the law, because that's what lawyers do, is they solve problems. I have real-world business experience. I ran my own business since 1993, but I also advised a lot of businesses. In my prior career, I was in charge of a budget in one of the Claremont colleges that was the whole student services budget. And I've got budget experience through the city of San Luis Obispo. So I think that – I think I have to stop because I see – thank you.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Barrett.
Yes.
I think my opponent's experience are very relevant in past eras, but I don't think they're as relevant today as they need to be. The major problem with the city has to deal with its management and its financial affairs. We have a lot of money coming in our revenues, but every year we tend to spend more money than our revenues with our expenses. And I really believe that we can change the culture of our city. I don't like to see 19 senior managers turn over in the past 19 months at the senior management level. I'm not happy with our relations with our unions, which seem to be very tumultuous and tension-packed. I'm not happy that we go to impasse every time we negotiate with a tough situation with the POA. I'm very concerned about the results of the binding arbitration in terms of the long-term relationships in the city. Things need to change. The climate in the city is hostile. The same bureaucratic answers that were given maybe 3 to 5 years ago do not work anymore. Thank you.
Ms. Marks, you have the final word.
Thank you. I just would like to say that my experience is indeed relevant. Just if you were hiring someone to do any job, would you look at someone who had virtually no experience at all, or would you look at someone who had a lot of experience when you're looking at who's qualified? I want to say that we do not spend more every year. We have been spending less, and that's the reason that the budget is balanced this year. In terms of the 19 people who supposedly have turned over in senior management, we only have 10 department heads. I don't know how that's possible. I have asked for staff to give me the true facts on that. In terms of the unions, I want to say that we have collectively bargained with 4 out of 5, and I was the swing vote in each time to approve the collective bargaining result in good faith. And the climate, in terms of the police, the POA, that is an ongoing problem. They're still ticked off that binding arbitration was overturned.
Thank you very much. We've had a candidates forum here for the two of the three candidates for mayor of San Luis Obispo, Steve Barish and Jan Marks. We want to thank them very much for being with us here on Issues and Ideas. My name is Larry Rutter. This is KCBX.